Well, as we open this lesson up on commanding faith, I'm just going to add to what we shared the last time that we were here. And when we talk about being in a position to command, it must mean, or it implies, that you have authority. Now, this authority that we look at has been given to us in Christ. So this authority came about through our new birth. Any man that's in Christ is a new person, a new creation, a person that never existed before, and that all things have passed away, and behold, all things became new. So this dead spirit, this spirit that was separated from God by sin, has been totally renewed, recreated, and now I am connected with Christ again. He came, his spirit has now come to live in me, and now I have a new position, I have a new place. What does it say in Colossians? I believe in chapter 1 it says, we've been delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So we look at that and we see, oh, so many scriptures in Christ, scriptures that for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I'm free from the law of sin and death. Now some may say, well, it sure doesn't look like it. But now that's where you have to believe and say with your mouth, that I believe I am free, I am delivered, I am free from the law of sin and death. Now, this authority that we've been given, we know from Matthew 28 and Mark 16, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, after he was resurrected, he was on this earth for a short period of time, 40 days, and so during that time, he appeared to his disciples, he spoke with them, he interacted with them, but before he went back to heaven, he gave them a charge. He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now you go and preach the gospel. So this authority, and lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. And so this authority that we've been given wasn't for us to just enjoy and say, oh, wow, isn't that great? But this authority, this place of dominion that we've been given is to do what? Further the kingdom of God. To advance the kingdom of God. To take back and win back those souls that were lost. Or the scripture says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that are lost. So we know that Satan is blinding minds to the gospel. And so when the scripture says in 1 Ephesians chapter 1, it says that this exceeding great power that's been given, that the revelation of this is far above all principality and power and might and name that's in every name that's named. So this authority, this dominion that we have, the scripture says we're seated with him in heavenly places. This dominion is so that we have a place of authority over the devil so that we can use this power to exert God's influence over the blindness that he's perpetrating on the minds and hearts of people who are lost. And so for us, this authority or is really delicate, or this power is, authority is delegated power. So this power that's been delegated to us, we need to exercise this every day. We need to exercise this power that's been given to us every day. What does that mean? That means that when you go out into life, there are going to be forces reined against you to try to do what? Hinder you, obstruct you from advancing God's purposes and his will. So I know there's a book by Billy Brim, she said, talking about prayer in the end times. And she said there's two reasons why we pray, pray in English and pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's to pray that God's will be accomplished here in the earth. His plan will be accomplished. And number two, to pull down the strongholds of the devil. So those are two reasons why we would exert our authority so that we can come against things that would hinder God's plan to be done here in the earth. So he looks for his body to pray out what? The will of God here in the earth, and to come against those things that would obstruct it. So as we look at this, the word command means to exercise a dominating influence over. It means to dominate as if from an elevated place. Well, we're seated in heavenly places within Christ. And the authority or right to command. So we have been given authority and we have the right to command in the name of Jesus. So let's open up to Ephesians chapter 1 and let's just look at verses 17 through 23. In the King James, and then I'm going to just read the New Living Translation of Ephesians 1, verse 22. But Ephesians 1, chapter 1, and verse 17, Paul praying this prayer for the church of Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, isn't it interesting, you know, when we talk about you will never operate in the authority that you've been given until you have a good comprehension of something. Isn't that what this is saying here? That God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of the power that you have to usward. So it's this comprehension and apprehension or revelation in what you have that's going to give you the faith to operate in this authority that we've been given. Not just, oh, that's nice. You know, we read that in the Word, praise the Lord. No. When you know who you are in Christ, you will not tolerate things that come in your life. You'll say, no, that is not of God. You know, let me just stop here for a moment. You know, the scripture talks about, when it talks about, we are to do what? Cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, did you ever think about this? God gave you an imagination. So there's nothing wrong with using your imagination. It's when it's a vain imagination and exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's to be pulled down. But God gave us an imagination. Brother Hagin used to say this while he was alive. He'd say, see yourself well. See yourself up and doing. See yourself prosperous. Let me ask this question. Have you ever heard motivational speakers say the same thing? Oh, yeah. See yourself a success. See yourself doing this. See yourself owning this. That's what? Your imagination. So there's nothing wrong with using your imagination as long as it supports the will of God. Glory to God goes right there. So when something in your thought life and an imagination comes in that's contrary to what God says in his word, you go, no, that's not me. That's not me. That doesn't pertain to me. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm prosperous in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. The New Living Translation of Ephesians 1:22, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. So this authority that was given to Christ, he conferred it upon us for our benefit, for the benefit of the church. Glory to God. So the church, his people, his body, has been elevated to the heavenlies and has no other meaning than that we are to be sharers with this authority. Glory to God. We're made to sit with him. That is, we share his throne. We share the throne of authority. He's conferred that authority upon us, and we are to walk in it. Glory to God. So the scriptures, you know, in Romans 12:3, it says, we've all, those that have been born again, we've been given a measure of the God kind of faith. And so we are told in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to walk. We're not to conduct. It says we're to walk, live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we ignore things with our eyes, but we make our decisions based on faith in God and his word, not by what somebody else says. We still pray about it. If somebody gives us information, we pray about that, and we seek God's direction. But we don't let other people, what does it say? We live by faith, faith in God, faith in his word. Glory to God. So we, when we walk by faith, the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:13, when we walk by faith, what does that mean? It says, I believed and therefore I speak. This is what was written in Psalm 116 by David. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So we believe and then we speak. So the things that face us in life, you know, I'll just share this. Everyone is going to face obstacles in life. Everybody's going to face some kind of obstacle in life, whatever that obstacle is. But that obstacle is meant to be moved and changed with the word of God. And so we need not, you know, give up, give in to obstacles, but we are told in scripture, and I would just say this, words matter. You know, words that we speak create. And words can either create something positive Or you can open up something negative. It says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So the words that we create, the words that we release, create an atmosphere. They create an environment by our words. So you can create an atmosphere, an environment of something positive, of healing, of prosperity, or you can create something that's full of peace just by your words. Or you can create something that's full of worry, full of sickness and disease. And you can create something that's full of hate just by your words. People say, I hate that person. And then what do? If they keep saying long enough, they may act upon it. We see society full of that. There are people that are in jail because they kept saying the wrong words. And they acted on those words. Well, we're to walk in love regardless of our feelings. So we're to walk by faith and not by sight or our feelings. So our words create, and we need to be conscious of that God's words, if we believe them and act upon them, when we speak God's word, what does the word say? It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and his word is forever settled in heaven. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So his word, some minister said this, there's no difference between the power in the event and the power in the message. There's no difference between the power in the event and the power in the message. They're the same. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he's quickening my mortal body. So there's no difference. God's nature is breathed into the word. His word is full of power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. So God's word, when we get it down into our hearts and we speak it into situations, we're releasing God's ability into that situation. Not just my words, his words, spoken in faith, and those words have to change something. They have to change it. It must change because God is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Everybody getting a hold of this? So when we get God's word down in our spirit and we speak it in faith, it's got to change because I'm releasing God into that situation. I'm releasing his power into that situation. So don't let the devil bamboozle and say, ain't changing. No, I've just spoken and released God into that situation. Now, you know, sometimes in our life, there can be mountains that just look like they ain't going to move. They're not going to move. They're dug in. There's mountains that got deep roots. But my God said, if you will speak and say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe the things you say, you will have it. So those mountains must move. It may take some time. But don't you dare give up. Don't you dare cast down vain imaginations. You cast down things that say, I'm not moving. Oh, yes, you are. You have to move because I've spoken in faith and God is moving it and removing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is something came up in my heart while I was preparing this message originally. something the Holy Spirit spoke to Reinhard Bonnke while he was alive. And he was, I guess, you know, at that point, somebody was supposed to minister and he was asked to fill in. And he said he was feeling very inadequate. Like, what am I got to say? What am I going to say? What have I got to give here? And he was feeling very, very inadequate stepping out in front of a big crowd, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit said to him. My words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. My words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. So when we get God's word in our mouth, it's full of power when it's spoken in faith. And it's just as powerful as God's words in his mouth. Glory to God. So let's look at John 15 for a moment, quick moment, and then we're going to go over to Matthew 18. But John 15, verse 1 in the King James says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you could say the word. Without me, the word, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and what? My words, the rhema words, that word words is rhema, abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So if you abide in him, and his word, his rhema word abides in you, you shall ask or demand. What does faith do? Faith speaks. It believes and speaks. Faith demands. It commands. I'm not commanding God. I'm commanding a situation to change. And this says here, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, you shall command or demand something and it shall be done. Hallelujah. This is Jesus speaking here. He's saying that if you do that, it's going to change. It's coming to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 18. I'm going to read from the King James and then the Amplified. Matthew 18:18. This is who's speaking. This is red letter. Jesus speaking here. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever who you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's look at the Amplified classic. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid, who's forbidding? We. Whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So let's see here. Something I forbid and declare improper on this earth must be what's already forbidden in heaven. What's forbidden in heaven? Sin, hate, worry, sickness, poverty. It's forbidden in heaven. And that here, Jesus saying, if it's forbidden in heaven, you're to forbid it here and declare it improper here in the earth. That means I have a right to speak to something and say, no, no, you're forbidden. I forbid you in the name of Jesus. What's allowed in heaven? Love, peace, eternal life, joy. So I let those things here. I decree peace. I allow it. I decree joy. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to expand on something here. Something that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And I'm going to show you in Scripture here. When we talk about something that's decreed and says it's improper or it's forbidden in heaven, I want you to turn over to the book of Colossians. Well, you can follow along. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. But you can follow along. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. So here's what are we saying. When there are issues and things that come into your life, we have a right, if they are forbidden in heaven, to forbid them. Circumstances try to create evidence. Do you ever think about that? Evidence is proof of something, isn't it? So the devil will try to create proof in your life that this situation or circumstance is so. And he tries to create evidence, and he tries to get you to agree with the evidence. But if that evidence is false and it's forbidden in heaven, I have a right to say, no, you don't. You leave me in the name of Jesus. This is false evidence. In the name of Jesus. Did you get to Colossians chapter 2? Verse 9, whatever, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Now this is verse 14 in Colossians 2:14 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins and our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. They have been canceled, and they cannot be retrieved. No evidence. If they've been canceled, they've been expunged. They've been eradicated. They've been erased. And they cannot be retrieved. So when evidence comes up against you, it's not from God. It's false evidence. As they say, appearing is real. And so he said, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Ooh! Ooh! It's a public display permanently of cancellation. There's a cancellation notice on my sickness and disease. There's a cancellation notice on my poverty and lack. There's a cancellation notice on worry and hatred. It's canceled. Those things that were held to my charge, he bore them. Himself took my infirmities, and he bore my sicknesses. So now you get the picture. When he canceled it and forgave us, wiping it out, can't be retrieved. So now in heaven, think about this, in heaven, there's no evidence against you of sin. Think about this. When you became a brand new creature in Christ, you are what? A new creature. No evidence of the old. It's passed away. I'm a brand new man in Christ. I'm brand new. No evidence of the old. It's been eradicated. No evidence in heaven that I'm a sinner. No evidence in heaven that I'm sick, because himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. So now, let's go back to Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18 says, I can do what? Forbid. I can forbid what is already forbidden in heaven. Oh. Oh. I forbid this symptom in my body. I forbid this lack that's tried to attach itself. I forbid whatever that obstacle is in your life. I forbid it because he took it and it's nailed permanently to the cross as a public display of cancellation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you begin to capture what this identity in Christ means. He identified with my sin and sickness. Now I identify with him. I identify with his righteousness. I identify with his eternal life. And I can walk free and overcome the obstacles. And this is what he desires us to do. He desires us to walk as kings and priests in this earth. Let's just close. I've kind of got a little off here, but just sharing. But let's take a look at Romans chapter 5. We'll just close with this scripture. Romans 5:17. It says, "For if by one man's offense," talking about Adam, "death reigned by one, say much more they which," what? "Receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. We reign. We reign. We reign in him. We reign in life. There's no evidence in heaven against me. None. Glory to God. If you'll believe that and receive it and walk in it, walk in it, walk in it, talk it. There's no evidence in heaven against me. There's no evidence. It's been permanently nailed to the cross as a public display of cancellation. And the devil knows it. He knows it. And he's trying to bring up evidence in your life that's what? A vain thing. It's against God's word and his plan. Glory to God. I hope you're getting something out of this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm telling you, if you'll take this and begin to meditate on this and think about it and speak it, you will walk in life not without issues and obstacles, but you'll walk right through them. You'll overcome them. You will walk through and be a success. You will reign in life. You will reign in life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, something Brother Hagin said, I saw something recently on one of his YouTube videos. Sometimes I take the time to look at those. And he was talking about the joy of the Lord and laughter. And he said, "Most of my laughing and most of my joy is when the hard times." He said, "Why do I need that when things are going good?" He said, "So the hardest times of life, I just laugh at the devil. I don't feel like it, but I just laugh at him. Why do I laugh? Because I know he's defeated. I know God's working in my behalf. I know these things are changed. I just laugh at him. I laugh at the circumstance. Ha, ha, ha." He said, "Most of my laughter is done during the hard times." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's walking by faith and not by sight. That's commanding faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something. Get this, you know, we're going to try to get these up here. I don't know, I'm finished. I'm concluded. Just wasn't sure, are they bringing CDs up here on Sundays? They are? Okay. So they are. Okay. Get these messages and listen to them. Feed upon them or download them. Listen to them. They'll be on the website. Usually they're up by Tuesday or Wednesday. Get these messages and just feed upon it. Meditate on it. Glory to God. No lack. No weakness. No lack in our lives. Lack of anything. Lack of wisdom. Lack of strength. Lack of money. Lack of health. No lack. And I say it's going to be this way. And I believe that, and I say it with my mouth. And you know, when you think about this, I know I'm finished, and I am. I'm just adding some thoughts here. But just think about what Jesus said in Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. He said, who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. Have faith. faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus spoke that. He said, if you do that, he will see to it that that word comes to pass. Yeah, we're the ones, but it's when I speak, I'm releasing him. He watches over his word to perform it. What is Isaiah 55, 10 and 11? It says, as the rain cometh down and the snow and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and produceth. He said, it'll not return unto him void, but it'll accomplish what he pleases. So he will see to it that the words that I speak in faith will come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you. Thank you. We're so grateful for the power of your word, that it's forever settled in heaven. And we thank you for it. Thank you that you've nailed to the cross all evidence that was against us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever think about this? Some of these points are in Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And he was talking about 21 reasons why people don't get healed. And you know, there's a number of things. You can walk out of love. You can not believe. It can be corporate unbelief. It can just be unbelief in general on your part. There's other things. One thing he put in there was that you can violate natural laws. You know, sometimes that's possible. So there are reasons why someone may not receive healing. But the bottom line here is that if we walk in these things, if we walk in love, and we purpose to walk in love, then the devil will have to take his hands off our bodies and our money and our finances and our family and our marriages. He has to take his hands off. And as we stand up and walk in this authority, we can say, oh, no, no, I walk in love. I walk under the shadow of and the presence of God. And he cannot touch my family and my things. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah.